first a lawyer specialising in firearms who's planning a legal challenge to the radical restructuring of the vetting system for licensed firearms holders. Barrister Nicholas Taylor says the proposed changes to firearms vetting are being done for the wrong reasons and are not lawful. This follows yesterday's story on concerns about the proposed restructuring by police that would see 280 community-based firearms vettors lose their jobs, replaced by 36 full-time field officers and 47 centralised administrative positions. These community vettors, who are often retired police officers, visit people applying for or renewing a firearms licence face-to-face in their own home, also interviewing referees to assess the applicant's mental suitability and how securely weapons are being stored. Nicholas Taylor, lawyer, says this proposed restructuring goes against the letter of the Arms Act, which he says is in place to protect public safety rather than to assist bureaucratic processes. He has 20 years' experience with firearms law, assisting with firearms licence revocations, among other things, and provides advice and opinions on the Arms Act and its regulations to shooters, collectors, firearms dealers and the firearms film industry. He's currently drafting a legal challenge to the Commissioner of Police in relation to this proposed restructuring. Nicholas Taylor is in Auckland. Good morning.
Good morning, Catherine.
What is your argument?
The argument is relatively simple. The Arms Act, as it was written in 1983, specified in numerous places through the Act that applications for firearms licences, applications for endorsements on your firearms licence, applications in relation to pistols or MSSAs or military-style semi-automatic rifles or restricted weapons are to be made at a local arms office.
And so what is it about this proposed restructuring that does not meet the law?
Well, the law, as I say, indicates very clearly multiple times and labours the point, if you will, that an arms office is to be one that is closest to your place of business or your home or your residential address. And this proposal seems to take all those arms offices and office away from the local areas and centralise them in Kapiti. The argument couldn't be reasonably levelled that someone who's living in Invercargill, who is applying for a firearms licence, the arms office in Kapiti is not and cannot be said to be closest to your residential address or your place of business.
What is known, and a lot of this is happening by means of roadshows going around the country that appear to be, we are hearing, very much about those with particular interests, pistol clubs, firearms users, rural firearms users who are attending. Not clear that there's wider publicity about them. But
yes.
What is it that you are hearing about the way the new system might work? For example, we had two people yesterday email, including one who is a police vettor currently themselves, yes, saying Skype is going to be involved to do the interviews. Is there anything in writing that suggests that?
No, not as such, but certainly that is and has been discussions from Police National Headquarters in regards to a lot of the roadshows that were conducted through the country. The roadshows in themselves, obviously, a great idea. The execution of them wasn't great, and that a lot of people didn't know they were on. The one in Auckland, I actually didn't know it was on. So to have a cross-section or to inform, it wasn't probably the best medium to do that in. I think that that's a problem.
But if we're talking about the point of having a local office and local vettors who have,
yes,
their patch right,
yes,
it's that principle that you're saying is being moved away from here. If you're going to have a much more centralised system, still with field officers though, could you get to the heart of what you believe is the risk of such a move?
The risk, obviously, and this is something that was debated both in the formation of the firearms law in New Zealand in 1983 and 1992 and, well, a less extent in 2002, the Arms Amendment Act, was that Parliament saw that there was a real benefit in having local staff, people who would know their communities, would get have intimate knowledge of their communities. They would know, you know, the person who's lost their job last week, the person who's had a divorce recently, the person who's fallen on hard times. It's, you know, and if you want to go further, you can say the a licensed firearms dealer, what they get to know that person's business. They get to know what sort of firearms they are bringing into New Zealand, what firearms they're selling to the community. There's a big difference between a licensed dealer in a big city centre selling firearms to one that's located in a rural area, for example. So they do. They have a lot of intimate knowledge. They have a lot of experience in assessing people.
Do they talk to each other? Do the local vettors talk to the local arms dealers?
Oh, yes, all the time.
Okay. Yeah. So this is getting to the nub of it, isn't it? Knowing who has guns, what's going on in their lives, who else in the household or around them or among their mates might have issues as well. This goes to the heart of the system as a protection, right?
Yes, and it's been a very good protection for a long time. And there's no doubt New Zealand has one of the highest ownership of firearms per capita in the world, and yet we have the lowest offending rates amongst licensed people. And the reason is we focus in on the fit and proper person as the prime mover rather than looking at the gun. And to have that intimate knowledge of a person, it requires someone who is from the local area.
Not only of the person and what's happening in their lives, but also of the question of the security and the securing of the firearm. How important is that when we have seen cases where someone has gone and got someone else's gun, a mate's gun, and committed an offence, right? And is that checking on how the gun is secured also pivotal?
Well, yes. I mean, part of the requirements of the Arms Act and the arms law in New Zealand is the security arrangements for all types of firearms, be it standard firearms or restricted firearms.
And the vettors go to the house and say, where is this? How is it locked? Where's the key? Who knows?
Yes, exactly. That's all right. But they also go further. They have usually, as they say, these 280-odd retired police officers have a lot of experience and can often guide people as to what they need to do and individual requirements for security, which people often haven't even thought of. They'll go and say, well, actually, that's not good. I've seen over my career of the police, you know, 20 times that locks like that have been broken into, you know, as an example. But you need to reinforce that. You need to look at that. Why don't you hide the safe away from that window? All these little things which you really can't do unless you're actually there in person.
Another vettor who emailed us yesterday, also a retired police officer, said, over my decades, when you are face-to-face with someone, you see the signs. You pick up on the signs. Now, again, we're not clear on what the more centralised process might be. But is part of your concern that there may be more stuff done remotely, done online, rather than the rigour of these personal visits?
Well, I think you mentioned it before about the Skype issue.
Which we don't know, right? But well, but seems, what seems is your knowledge of Skype fitting into this proposal?
Skype or some sort of video conference to look at the security. And I've had a few dealers very concerned about that because you're not sure whether or not the security of that video footage or what's going to happen with that video footage of a dealer walking around, say, a safe having 500 firearms in it. I mean, that's a very big deal to actually then broadcast or send that video footage somewhere. It could be hacked, and if that was hacked, you've got a real big problem then all of a sudden, because a lot of the dealers rely on the fact that these guns are in safes and security are also hidden away. If you're highlighting and potentially highlighting it, it could be a problem. And also, a lot of my clients, they're older people who are collectors and been collecting firearms for 40 years, are very similar to stamp collectors, but they're not really very adverse with computers. They're quite computer illiterate. I certainly know because I get almost zero communication by email from at least 20% of my clients. They just don't have computers. and resort back to New Zealand Post.
You said we've got one of the highest per capita ownership of guns,
yes.
Did you say?
Yes.
And one of the lowest incidences of gun crime.
Yes, amongst
license holders.
Yes, it's remarkable. It does work. And the problem is that the long title, what's called the long title, the key goal of the Arms Act in New Zealand is for the safe use and control of firearms. So that's public safety. Now, this potential move to centralise the bureaucratic roles, or the licensing, the applications for import permits, the applications for endorsements on firearms license, is all going to be done centrally, and that's certainly been said. So that seems to be being done for the wrong reasons. It seems to be being done for resourcing, for financial, for bureaucratic reasons, not in the promotion of safe use and control of firearms. It doesn't assist that. In fact, it will take away from it.
Given the fact you just discussed one of the highest ownerships and one of the lowest offence rates among licensed holders, can I repeat a question to you that I put to other guests a couple of weeks ago? Are we on borrowed time?
We'll be on borrowed time if changes like this are allowed to be made to an established system that works. I think I'm fearful for it. This is why I'm speaking to you today, because of the concerns that I have, and also my client who has looking at taking action against the police in regards to this, amongst some other issues as well, have concerns about public safety going forward from this point. And that would, of course, damage everyone in New Zealand who is a good person and is a licence holder and is responsible.
This comes in the context of the growth of possession of arms. I want to come to a few specific categories in a moment, including the military-style semi-automatics.
Yes.
So let's just come back to that in a moment, and also the importing issue. But could you speak specifically to the action that is proposed then? And there's more than one. One action is, to the very point that we've been speaking, this breaches the principle of the Act. Is that correct? Where is that
yes.
at?
Yes, I've been instructed by COLFO, which is Coalition of Licensed Firearms Owners, who have been around for a long time, and they're very concerned about this potential centralisation and loss of personal contact. So they've instructed me to draft papers that will be filed in the High Court, basically challenging police view that everything should be centralised and that would be allowable under the law as it's currently written. So it's basically saying that the entire desire to move and centralise everything in Kapiti, well, technically, in my opinion, needs a law change, because under the current structure of the Arms Act, that's just not allowed.
Do they have any other interest in this other than public safety? Is there any other benefit they have to having local contact now rather than a more centralised system?
Are you referring to the police?
To COLFO.
COLFO represents a lot of firearms owners, and they represent a lot of dealers. They're concerned about, obviously, people's hobby and their interests. They're also very concerned about public safety. They promote safe use of firearms and guns.
But there's no other benefit. There's no other benefit to them driving this other than the concern. Using their own local knowledge about public safety.
Obviously, with any court action like that, there are some other issues which
being
will be
what?
Being put before the court as well in regards to changes of police policy, there's opinion that's either not necessary, it was unlawful in itself. So it is one of the things which they're looking at. There's certainly been quite a dramatic increase in police policy coming out of Police National Headquarters recently around firearms.
Are things getting tougher?
Tougher.
More bureaucratic.
More bureaucratic, yes. I'm just using one example, but certainly there's an example where it would appear that the police policy in regards to a certain section of the Arms Act, where they've actually inserted a new word which wasn't intended by Parliament, wasn't put there. So, I mean, that's something which
has what effect?
It's an effect to actually make firearms holders do something which Parliament didn't feel was necessary.
Right. So they have a second interest in that. They're feeling the bureaucracy is piling up on them.
Yes. I mean, that is right. I do have one case that's already filed in the district court, and that is in relation to a policy and in regards to import permits, because the Act says that an import permit for a firearm must be given to the local arms office, once again, and an arms office which is closest to the port of entry. However, the police now have a permitting hub which is based in Wellington, where they are insisting that all permits now be sent to a central permitting, and it'll probably be expanded out to licensing and permitting hub in Wellington in the future. So it's already there, it's already running, and it's already experiencing problems. But that's not my issue.
There's a convenience factor, but you are saying your position certainly is that there is a public safety question to this.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
What are the laws now with respect to the called MSSA, aren't they, military-style semi-automatics? Because we had an emailer yesterday who said, we don't have a weapons register in New Zealand, and this is why we are focusing so much on the licence in question. We licence the person, and therefore the integrity of that system is critical. What do you have to do, though, if you have a military-style semi-automatic? Do you have to register that? Do you have to register everyone you have? What is it about that particular weapon that is more scrutinised, if anything?
All right. firstly, there's only two types of licence in New Zealand. There's a standard firearms licence, and then there's an endorsed licence, and that's it. So you can go and apply for an endorsement to your local arms officer for the possession of categories of different firearms for reasons such as an endorsement for a military-style semi-automatic firearm, or a pistol, or a restricted weapon, such as a machine gun or something like that. But you apply for those for reasons. So, for example, a bona fide collector, someone who's a collector of World War I firearms, for example, or someone who's a pistol shooter who attends a pistol range, they can apply for an endorsement for a pistol license. And someone who's a military-style semi-automatic has to give reasons why they want to possess that type of firearm, usually for sort of competition shooting or something like that. So they'll apply for an endorsement on their licence, very similar to a car licence giving an endorsement. So,
but again, the person is licensed to have the weapon rather than the weapon being at its location being on a register.
Well, there's no such thing as registration of firearms in New Zealand at all. It doesn't exist. It's just through the permit process, through applying for a permit and an endorsement process, the police have recorded for many years what military-style firearms, restricted weapons and pistols people have.
We are told this review, I think the public consultation goes through to early March. The idea of it being fully implemented, you're telling me it's already underway, effectively. The idea of it being fully implemented by the middle of this year. So where does your court case sit in all that? Where's the legal challenge at?
Well, we're in the drafting and research and evidence gathering stage at the moment. So
it may or may not go forward as a judicial review?
As a judicial review, a declaratory judgments claim. I'm probably looking at filing probably in April this year, I'd say.
Nicholas, thank you for your time. I appreciate the input.
Thanks very much, Chief.
Nicholas Taylor, who is a specialist in firearms law, a barrister practising in Auckland.